This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 2.
We have the Killer G's. We go from Kai Gillespie to Seth Greenberg, front and center. Coach Greenberg, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. She's much better well-spoken than I am. What's the football doing on your desk? Seriously.
This, just so you know, this was my youngest daughter, Emerson, is a junior at Clemson. She's an art major, and this was a Christmas gift. This is a bronzed football that she made for me for Christmas. It weighs 22 pounds.
Keep it. Then keep it there.
Hey.
I agree.
You think I can lift 22 pounds right now? Unless it's barbecue, there's no way. So it stays right there. Now, by the way, hold on. I'll give you one more thing. Hold on. Entertain Greenberg while I get one more piece of art.
Don't forget to unplug yourself there. Oh, you got it.
I'll reach you.
Okay, you're going to be able to get that.
Look at the flexibility. Look at the athlete in this man's body. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's bringing stuffed toys.
Look at this.
Oh, that's big time.
Now, this is a ceramic Shaq's foot.
Look at stripes.
Three stripes.
Mr. Adidas. Yeah, I know, but you would appreciate this is a ceramic Nike. And I think it's about
big time.
How about that? You like that?
Yeah.
And this is
really big time.
This is the stuffed version of Fuller, by the way, that goes right there in the shoe. So there it is. All right, there you go.
Fuller's everywhere. I like it.
That's just for you.
I like it. I like it. I appreciate that.
I want to start this week with a question we had in hour one. And the question in hour one basically became this, Coach. Three from the ACC are givens. Duke, Louisville, Florida State, whatever order you want to put them in. The question that is going to, I think, go through the month of February is going to be how many more? In your mind today, how many more?
But when the season started, I said five. I don't think they'll get more than five. There's no chance they're going to get more than five. I mean, and the guys have opportunities. I was listening to the show prior to coming on, and you're right. I mean, Virginia's got opportunities. Carolina's got opportunities to improve their stock. I mean, the loss for Syracuse the other day was absolutely brutal. When you start getting to the bottom of the glob, that's kind of, I got to be honest with you, that's kind of pushing it a little bit. I mean, you're like, you say, well, you know, these guys have two or three quad one wins. Here's the problem is there's no more opportunities except for maybe Carolina and Virginia. I mean, you look at the Big Ten, those teams, the middle of their glob in the Big Ten, they're going to have five, six, seven, eight quad one wins because every game they play is a quad one win if they can win it. So, when you play a 20-game schedule, if you win eight of your games in the Big Ten, that there's a good chance you're going to have six maybe or seven quad one wins. Not a lot of teams are going to have that.
I wanted to add this to the conversation on the one you just brought up. You mentioned the 20 games, and I said yesterday on radio in Raleigh, we don't have math on that 20. We don't know what the math looks like on the 20 games. Is that a bad thing this year, Seth?
Well, yeah, here's the thing. I mean, this is such a rare year in the ACC that, you know, 20 games, you would have thought you would have all kinds of opportunities to get quad one wins and improve your station. Unfortunately, this year is a year that is an anomaly. I mean, this is so rare for this league. I mean, no one expected – well, quite honestly, I expected Virginia to take a huge step back, but no one expected Carolina to be where they are right now. And then, look, the bottom of the league is just not that good. Virginia Tech, that was a tough loss against BC. You can't have that. Syracuse, that's a tough loss, even though it's at Clemson. You had the game won. So the biggest thing is you just don't have opportunities. And this year especially, when I wouldn't use the word parity, but that no one has separated themselves, I think they're going to count quad one wins. I think you know, your quality wins are going to mean just a little bit more. And then here's the other thing. All those in the glob, you lose to another glob mate, and that's a bad loss. That's a bad loss. That could knock you out. That's why, look, Carolina's got a great opportunity, but they can't afford another bad loss. They're playing better, and they're playing better.
All right, two things here. Number one, I appreciate your use of glob. By the way, that's exclusive to the ACC. Number two, games this weekend. Games this weekend, Seth. NC State with a golden opportunity. They got Louisville in their backyard. You got a team like Florida State, despite the loss. You know what? Virginia Tech needs a win. They got the Noles coming to town. Syracuse, you just mentioned a tough loss at Little John. They got Duke coming to town. This is a really critical weekend. When you start talking about not only the big three at the top, but also teams that are in the glob with a shot to really make some kind of noise, it's a huge Saturday coming up.
It is a huge Saturday, and you've got to take advantage of those opportunities because there aren't that many opportunities for you. And this time of the year, and you guys know this because you've been around it forever and some. You know, look, the dog days of the season are upon us. You know, February's coming around the corner. When February comes, you're only as good as your locker room. So like Syracuse, you're only as good as how you deal with that loss to Clemson. Virginia Tech, you're only as good as how you deal with that loss to Boston College. Because now, let's face it, what happens in February? There are no secrets. You've seen teams so many times. You know who they are and how they win. February, what happens? You're tired. You're a little more irritated. Who's coaching your locker room? February, the officials are tired. There's a shorter leash. February, there's adversity because, you know, you're in league playing every game now means a little bit more. And that adversity and that pressure of you're on the bubble, you're off the bubble, you're in, you're out. What's my BPI? What's my net? How many quad one wins do I have? Man, if your locker room's not good, it is really hard to survive February.
All right, I want to put you on the spot here a little bit, okay? And if you got to throw your hands on this, I'm all for throwing your hands, all right? I know.
Have I thrown them pretty? I'm trying to keep them down today.
No, you're doing good. I like it so far. But you may throw them on this. I want you to give me your mid-season all-ACC team because I want to see if one of the most underappreciated guys nationally in college basketball is on the list.
Man, you're just throwing it at me just like that. All right, I'm going to go Jordan Nwora.
Okay.
I'm going to go Vernon Carey.
Okay.
Good call.
I'm going to go Buddy Boeheim or Elijah Hughes. One of those two.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I actually think that one of those two, because, I mean, think about this Syracuse team without those dudes.
I agree.
They would be Garrison Brooks is playing his way into that conversation.
All right. You got one more slot.
I'd go Garrison Brooks.
Can I give you a hint?
No. You got to let him do this.
He needs help.
No, he doesn't. He's Seth Greenberg. He's a two-time ACC Coach of the Year.
Let me give you a help. I'm not gonna say a name.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hold on. Just hear me out.
Give me help.
Ready?
The human rebound.
Yeah,
I don't know. They got to win some games, man.
Oh,
they
got to
win some games. Look! I love the kid. Look, every shot is a pass off the backboard to the kid. All right, so I mean, look, I understand that, but like, it's got to equate to winning some games. I mean, like, look, Vernon Carey is easy. Like, I don't see Trey Jones at Duke. Noir is easy.
Wait,
I mean, that's easy. You know, I understand Mooney rebounds the basketball. I understand he finishes. I understand every team has a leading scorer. Every team has a leading rebounder. The guy's relentless. Who else is going to get a rebound on their team? And I love the guy. I have no problem putting him on the first team.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Fuller, you're right. You read my mind. So wait a minute. So Garrison Brooks on a 3-6 ACC team, no problem putting him on. Mooney on a 3-6 ACC team, got to win more games.
Here's my deal with Garrison Brooks. I'm looking at where that team's playing right now. They've won two in a row. They're playing better. It looks like there's a little light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, Brooks has been, you know what? All right, I'll throw Mooney on. here's a better question for you. How many pros are in the ACC this year?
I'm going to say two.
Now, think about this. When was the last time you said the ACC and there are two guys that you say, boom, those guys are going to be pros?
Long time ago. Long time ago.
Long time ago.
And you know what? I went back to this in several, I did some radio spots yesterday around the country, and I'll go back to what we talked about in October, and I think it's reality today. And I think when you say it in October before the season starts, I think people just think you're talking to talk. But remember when we talked about 13 of the 15 all ACC guys had moved on? Coach,
yeah.
that is a stark reality to what's happened to this league this year.
Yeah, it's a stark reality because a lot of those guys, five of them just off the top of my head, left early, and five of them, all right, the three guys from Virginia, they weren't recruited as two-and-dones, three-and-dones. They were recruited as four-year guys.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. All right, the two guys at Syracuse, all right, didn't get drafted. Mm-hmm. They didn't get drafted. All right. Then you go to Carolina, and all right, they had an upper-class team, Nasir Little. You know, look, I mean, I don't know. He was a McDonald's All-American. He didn't have a draftable, per se, year. He didn't have a great year, but you can see him going on. So as you go through the league, you know, you can explain some, but it's hard to explain others. Like Virginia, going into the league, why did we think Virginia was going to be so good? I mean, like, if you really looked at their roster, all right, everyone had a new role. You know why? Because of Tony Bennett. People were betting on Tony Bennett early, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But I think also, too, Virginia brought back enough guys with discernible experience from the title run a year ago that you felt like with a young league and an unknown league that would push them to the top a little bit. And actually, I think that's probably what's helped them here in the last couple of weeks to get through after losing to NC State to come back and kind of get it square. I mean, Kihei Clark, Mamadi Diakite, and Braxton Key played real roles on a team that won the national title last year.
Secondary roles, though. Like, Kihei Clark, the huge thing for Virginia right now is real simple. Kihei Clark made better decisions at the end of the game. His ability to get in the lane, get downhill, use the rim, and make that layup as opposed to seek contact, that was a step forward. Now, look, he pitched it all over the place in the first half.
Sure.
I mean, you get Virginia. Look, they've won every game. They've scored 60. They need to get to 60?
Yeah.
Come on now. This is the ACC.
All right.
That's the thing. The teams they're playing against, I don't know.
All right. Here's something we're getting ready to do a couple segments from now, but I'm going to get you to lay the line for us, okay? Overachievers and underachievers. Who's the biggest overachiever this year in the league, and who's the biggest underachiever in the league?
Well, I'd say because they get no respect is Florida State. I mean, because, you know, they lose the two pros. So Virginia Tech could be that conversation. It seems like they're going a little bit south. I mean, I think I love what Mike's done with that team. I mean, I think he's been absolutely terrific. You know, like, I'm not going to say Carolina. Like, everyone wants to say Carolina's an underachiever. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, I don't know if they're underachieving. I just don't know if they're that good.
Okay.
I mean, you take Cole Anthony off their team. I mean, think about the dudes they lost. I mean, are they really underachieving? Are they just not that good? I mean, we heard Roy Williams say it's the least talented team he's ever coached. So if it's the least talented team, then maybe they're just not that good. I mean, they take two 50-year transfers. Who would have thought that they'd go, you know, and take a Big South and a CAA 50-year transfer to kind of put their squad together? So I don't know. I hate to say overachievers, underachievers, because here's the thing that I'm not sure everyone understands. There's so many things that go on in your locker room and go on throughout your program throughout the course of the year that impact winning and losing besides just made and missed shots. So I just think it's not fair to the kids.
All right. So you're sitting on the fence again, like Boeheim and Hughes were sitting on the fence.
I would say that answer underachieved.
All right. Well, tell me who your underachievers are.
North Carolina, preseason top 10. Here we are sitting there talking about 3-6 in the league.
Yeah. Here's the question. I'm gonna throw it to you guys right here.
Packer Durham and Greenberg continues in a moment.
Look,
no, I'm sorry.
look in the mirror and see the guys who put in preseason top 10.
I didn't, so I don't have to worry about that.
So the media picked them maybe the media underachieved.
Well, like I said, your answer underachieved.
Wow.
That's right. You just confirmed my answer to you. I mean,
I don't think, like, here's the deal coming into the season. Why did you think they were so good? Because Cole Anthony's a good prospect? Yeah, he is. And Baycott's a good prospect? Yeah, he is. But, like, who did they lose?
Oh, we're here.
I mean, like, those guys are good enough?
We achieved hand throwing.
I mean, like, these guys are good enough? I'll give you another one. Everyone puts all this hype on these freshmen. All right? Anthony Edwards not going to the NCAA tournament. There are two lottery picks at Washington that are not going to the NCAA tournament. They're going to join Romeo Langford. They're going to join Markelle Fultz. They're going to join Ben Simmons. You know, here's the deal. Just because you sign a good player or a hyped up player or whatever doesn't guarantee you're going to be top 10. So, like, their roster got destroyed. Mm-hmm. I mean, who came back from North Carolina that you were excited about?
That's a fair question. That's a very fair question.
I mean, like, who came back from North Carolina and said, man, I'll tell you one thing. I can count on that dude. Brandon Robinson, he's going to get me 20 a night. Garrison Brooks, he's a double-double machine. Oh, I tell you what, I'm really excited about Christian Keeling. He's a fifth-year guy. He's going to make a difference.
I can't wait to have
question,
Greenberg in this.
Answer, please.
Seth, your audio went out the last 3 minutes. Could you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, I know. The question made a lot of sense. And Chester agrees.
Hey, now that's Fuller.
That's
and by
Fuller.
The way, for
oh,
you.
Fuller. That's Fuller's behind you. Yeah. I could see he was barking.
Hold on, Fuller. Hold on a second. I know Jake the Wonderhound's up
Fuller,
there somewhere.
You agree. I know. Yeah,
but just for you, I was going to give you a here's what I want you to work on. Fuller, the next time you join us, Fuller. I want you to pick up on the Nick Saban hand move. It gives you this one.
Give
it. The progressive.
That's it. Right
yeah,
there.
It.
You got
you
it.
You get that
yeah.
one, man. You're
well,
going
they have
somewhere.
Me so close to. Hey, there's a rumor that I might have to show up there one Thursday. I've got Duke and NC State on a Wednesday.
Come on.
And I might have to make an appearance on a Thursday. I might even bring a steak biscuit.
Hey.
No. Well, for the hounds, perhaps.
We got a chair for 3 hours right here, big boy.
I'm there.
We'll do it.
Come on.
Hey, thank you as always. Have a safe trip to Auburn this weekend. Don't forget another award-winning edition of Bald Men on Campus.
We're trying to get Chris Mack to join us.
Oh, well, there you go.
Perfect.
Okay.
He'd be a good representative.
Yep.
9 o'clock. It's on Friday night. It's right here on ACC Network. First two editions have been sensational. You get the and it says this in the copy, by the way. The follically challenged Jay Billis, Seth Greenberg, and LaFonso Ellis. I tend not to read that most times. But you get the latest news on the ACC, their thoughts on the weekend ahead, and it is a good weekend of ACC basketball. When we come back, world famous Bark or Bite is coming up. It's been a while since it's been a week, actually. We do Bark or Bite on Thursdays. We've got an edition for you coming up next on Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network, Sirius XM 371.
Packer and Durham.
Now it's time for a little Bark or Bite, Mr. Durham.
Yeah. Josh and Drew put this stuff together
right.
every week. We don't look at it.
I don't.
No, I don't either. And then they offer it to us, and we have to either say yes or no, or bark if we think it's hyperbole, or bite if we think it's got a chance to happen.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the yes or no concept. All right, let's go to Bristol. Been a busy morning for you boys. Look at what are we doing here? We're shuffling around. We're trying
Drew,
to
do that. Drew lost his phone. Full disclosure. I should actually press the God mic here. Poorly produced. Right before we came back from break, Wes saw Jay Billis's Twitter, which was a photo of someone in a movie. So
right.
I did a little research. I was trying to text you back before we came. Wasn't successful, but it was Jay Billis. He starred.
Had a role in.
He was in Dark Angel. In 1990.
Really?
Never heard of it.
He was also in an episode of The White Shadow. Apparently on Jay, and we'll show this maybe later.
So Dark Angel and White Shadow.
He was in the White Shadow TV show. We talked about that.
No, Dark Angel, White Shadow.
All right. There's Billis in a
Get it?
Movie of some sort.
Billis is a talented dude, man.
Man, unbelievable. I had no
According
idea.
To IMDb, he was also in a movie called With a Kiss in 2016.
Was that with Rafferty?
Written by Rafferty. Yeah.
All
I was
right.
For some reason, I thought it was like a Hallmark movie. I didn't click on it yet.
By the way, 9:45 today, we got plenty of things, and we also have an Andy Reid quote that will get right to you. Food-related Andy Reid quote.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I know you like it. All right. Bark or bite, boys. Let's go.
All right, guys. First one. Bark or bite that the regular season men's basketball champion will also win the conference tournament. Footnote here, it's happened 3 times in the past 6 years, all of them being even years. A little Giants flavor for you, Pack.
I like that. That 10-12-14 reference. God bless the San Francisco Giants. Well, this one is kind of a goofy question. I gotta be honest, it's kind of a goofy question.
Okay.
I think there's only 3 teams at the top. I'm gonna bark.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to bark.
Okay.
I'm going to say the regular season champ is not going to win the tournament.
Hmm.
I base it on absolutely nothing.
Okay. I'm going to say the regular season champ is also not going to win the tournament. Because here's something to remember. The top four seeds have only gone to the finals 17 times.
But this is a different kind of year.
Yeah, I understand
we would,
that.
We would agree with that,
but
right?
I also think, too, to the point Seth was talking about, the tournament, and you said this in hour one, the tournament is going to have higher stakes on Wednesday and Thursday than it's had in a long time.
There is no doubt.
Like last year, there was one game, and it was Clemson-NC State that everybody regarded as kind of a game that would determine somebody's fate.
And it kind of did.
Yeah. So now we're talking about having, I'm not sure, maybe the one of the games on Tuesday, but I'm telling you, we're talking about three Wednesday games. Maybe two for sure, maybe three.
I think all Wednesday.
All four?
I think all of them.
Yeah.
Because you know what? If you're the head of the glob for the regular
season,
you must win
right
on Wednesday. So I think every game will be, I'm not telling you it's an old school ACC tournament, but in terms of an NCAA tournament bid, Wednesday in Greensboro is going to feel that way.
Yeah.
Because if you lose, that's a problem.
Well,
I don't care who you are.
And by the way, Josh, to your point, and I'm going to go bark on the top seed winning the tournament. But to your point, 16 and 19 were the only two times since 2008 that the top four have advanced to the semifinals.
Doesn't happen often.
Yeah. So when you take that into account, and only 17 times in conference tournament history has it happened.
And whoever finishes fourth, whichever lucky team wins the glob championship in the regular season
and gets the double bye
and is the four seed.
Right.
I mean, do you really trust them to get to the semis? Whoever it is, I don't care which one it turns out to
be.
I mean, they're all going to be kind of dice rolls, right?
I agree.
So, yeah, it's
all right.
We'll see. I'll play.
Do you get a banner for winning the glob championship?
No.
We should get t-shirts, though.
Nope.
Packer and Durham t-shirts with the glob logo on the back that we've yet to
create. We just got to get the glob logo.
Got to get that logo.
Man. Yeah.
All right.
All right, next question. The Inside Lacrosse preseason poll came out this week. Five ACC schools are ranked in the top 10. Bark or bite that at least three schools from the conference will be ranked number one at some point this season.
I'm going to bite.
Well, we know Virginia is number one.
Nobody's really.
I'm going to bark on that. I'm going to say only two. Because I don't know how volatile the lacrosse poll is, but if you're seven, a lot of people got to lose up front, don't they?
Well, I think the ACC is going to cannibalize each other a bunch.
All right.
And, I just don't think there's going to be somebody sitting with a zero.
All right.
So I'm going to bite, and the leagues are going to be really, really good.
Oh, yeah. Sensational.
Okay. Really good.
All right, guys, we're now news came out that Chase Bryce is going to visit Duke this weekend. Bark or bite that Bryce will actually end up transferring to an ACC school?
Bite. I think he ends up at an ACC school.
Tell you what, Chase Bryce, and I've told you this, he could start for 95% of the teams in college football. And if you tie him up with a quarterback guru, not that he wasn't getting to Clemson, but hey, wherever he goes to play, he's going to play. You throw him with David Cutcliffe, just for argument's sake, that to me seems like a pretty good combination. And by the way, Chase Bryce is a very smart kid. So I can think of worse places for him to end up, honest with you.
What I said yesterday when I heard this was, that seems like a hand in glove. He's got a big arm. Nothing against Quentin Harris, delightful kid. We enjoyed visiting with him. Duke struggled at the quarterback spot this year.
Chase Bryce plays David Cutcliffe football.
Absolutely.
Right. Does that make sense?
And you know, here's the real deal. Why wouldn't you go to Duke if you wanted to play at the next level? Why wouldn't you spend a year with David Cutcliffe?
Daniel Jones is a pretty good example.
I mean, think about what your summer's going to be like. You're going to go to the Manning Passing Academy. You're going to get all sorts of opportunities to interact with high-level guys, including DJ, right?
And David Cutcliffe is looked upon as one of the truly best quarterback coaches on the planet Earth.
Doing anything with him.
Period.
Right. At any level. So, I'm bite on Chase Bryce. I'm not going to, say that it's over and he's going to Duke, but I don't think this would be public if it weren't.
and
you know,
not
feeling good.
And not that it matters really, but you know, Duke Clemson, I do not believe play each other in the regular season.
That is
not
correct.
That should play into it.
I will double check that for you, but I think you're right.
Yeah, I think Clemson gets Virginia instead. Virginia, Georgia Tech.
That is correct. So there you go. All right, good question
right, guys,
there.
A little women's hoops to close us out here. The Louisville Cardinals, as of right now, are 9-0 in conference. Bark or bite that the Cardinals will finish the conference season undefeated. We'll show you the schedule here in a moment.
I see, and again, they have been out of sight. And you know what? So is number 7
yep.
on that list on February the 13th. Well, that'd be a scene.
Well, I'm glad that's on the network.
That is going to be a ball game.
Yes,
right
it
there.
Will.
That might be a tough ticket, don't you think?
At Valvano Arena at Reynolds Coliseum? You bet it will be.
That will be a tough ticket. I just think that, hey, anybody can put a 0 in the loss column in any sport.
Right.
I mean, you got to be good, lucky, have all kinds of cool things. I think Louisville stumbles somewhere, and I would guess February 13th on that list is their best shot for a trouble spot. So I think they'll lose one somewhere.
Man, we all take this show on the road up there.
That'd be a good game. That'd be a neat thing to attend now.
Yeah, it would. I think that's a sensational game. I'm going to say Bark here only because I think it's hard to run the table even if it's not like an NC State.
That's
you know,
what I'm saying. I mean, it's just yeah. hard to win every one
exactly
of them.
Exactly right. Difficult. So let's go Bark there.
You think Wes Moore breaks out the candy apple red blazer for that game?
You have to. Problem is, you know, Jeff could do the same thing even though he doesn't like wearing blazers.
Let me tell you, you guys want to impress me. If they want to impress me, if Kevin Keats and Wes Moore want to impress me, they'll get somebody to stitch Wolfpack Club right there on. You remember? You know
old
what I'm talking about?
Wolfpack Club.
Wolfpack Club on the breast pocket. You want to impress me? So there you go. Because that's what they said.
Well, Frank Whedon special.
Yeah, Frank Whedon. Yeah. All right, we come back. Remember, we teed this up for Greenberg. He
failed miserably.
Well,
answering the question.
That's nice of you to
he
say.
He was blaming the media.
That's nice
that's
of you to say.
That's not what the question
that's
was.
That's in the media, isn't he?
That's last time I checked.
Mike Young eating popcorn.
I love that shot.
Is he my overachiever? Who's my underachiever? Look at me. What is Duke doing on that list? What's Virginia? Tony Bennett? What's he doing there? Sit tight. Packer and Durham beyond halfway home after Greenberg went long in your first segment of the hour. Here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. So we had the Killer G's, right? Gillespie and Greenberg.
Yeah, that was it.
Jen Hildreth's coming up here in about 10 minutes.
Oh, that'll be
awesome.
Make her
debut with us.
Yeah,
and, of course, Garrison Brooks, who Seth Greenberg had on his halfway point all-ACC team. Joins us next hour.
Yeah, Jen Hildreth is in Coral Gables tonight for Georgia Tech Miami, part of our Ladies' Night doubleheader.
Full slate.
She and LaChina Robinson at 6 o'clock, and then Virginia Tech at Syracuse tonight at 8 here on ACC Network.
It's a full slate of women's basketball tonight.
All right, so underachievers and overachievers, and we cite an article from Myron Metcalf that's up on ESPN.com under the college basketball tab about who is the biggest overachiever and underachiever. We'll talk about the ACC. He outlines most of college basketball. He says in his article, the overachiever is Syracuse.
Disagree. That's okay.
Says the underachiever is North Carolina.
Totally agree.
Okay. Now, in Syracuse, he says, picked to finish 8th in the league's preseason poll. Jim Boeheim's squad started 6-3 in conference play after winning 5 straight. The ACC ain't the typical ACC, but the Orange climbed into the 60s of the NCAA's net ranking and could crack the NCAA tournament bubble.
I get it. I mean, you don't have to sell me on that, but I would have picked Virginia Tech for overachiever because my expectations for them were like 14th or 15th in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how it's going to end up. But this is all based on the halfway point only. I would have put the Hokies on that list as the biggest overachiever in the league. And I know they were coming off 2 disappointing losses at Boston College and at Miami.
Right.
But even prior to that, I mean, they have really played well. And I just didn't think they'd have a whole lot for Coach Young's debut in Blacksburg. And he has really impressed me with what he's done with this team. We knew how good a coach he was prior to getting to town. But my answer would have been Virginia Tech.
Honestly. Right. Well, I'm with you on the Hokies in terms of overachieving and for exactly the same reasons you just indicated. I think there's so much to glean. And, Pac, we can go back and talk about singular wins for programs. But I think the dynamic of Virginia Tech's year changed when they beat Michigan State and Maui. I think they had confidence. They just had to see something happen on a major level, and that happened in Maui.
I'm going to take it before that. I thought when they went on the road to start the season at Clemson.
Oh, wow.
Because I didn't think they were going to win that game.
Okay.
And here's Coach Young, debut kind of going back home where he had great success at Wofford. He goes a little further south down I-85. And when they won that game, because they really kind of controlled that game in the second half, I thought they kind of made a statement the first night of the season. And, you know, what they did at Maui was just like, wow, you kidding me? I've been very impressed with what they've done. And the way they play, they're a fun team to watch. And when they make threes, watch out. They can beat a lot of people.
Yeah. So we both agree Virginia Tech.
Yeah, both like Virginia Tech.
Underachievers.
My pick was North Carolina, right? I just think that North Carolina, and I know they lost a ton, and that's what Seth was talking about when we were going back and forth. Still Roy Williams. You still got McDonald All-Americans. You still had Cole Anthony coming in. You were a preseason top 10 team. And I know it's been an injury-riddled season. Hey, you know, you can't crystal ball things like that. But it's still North Carolina, man. I don't care what you say. Roy Williams, one of the greatest of all time. There's still dudes there. I don't care what anybody says. He can say they're less gifted than in years past, perhaps. But, you know, it's still got UNC there, boys. And 3-6, they've won the last two. To me, North Carolina's the biggest underachiever in the first half. But the good news is they're getting healthy, they're playing with momentum, and they've got golden opportunities in the second half. We'll see how it plays out.
Top five scorers gone from a season ago at Carolina, and four of the top five rebounders were gone from a year ago.
So, it's North Carolina.
I get it. I just think that there were underachievers, yes, but in a year where players didn't return, they are kind of the poster child of players that didn't return.
They were also a preseason top 10 team.
They were.
So
they were.
You can give me that all you want.
My choice on this is probably going to be a little different, but I went back and basing it on things like, okay, who'd you bring back? What kind of experience level did they have? I chose Notre Dame.
Wow.
Okay. Notre Dame brought back, and I went back and double-checked this, Notre Dame brings back seven of their top eight scorers, everybody but DJ Harvey, who transferred to Vanderbilt, who averaged almost 11 points a game. The next seven scorers on this team that were injury-riddled, no question, I'll tell you that. They lost Rex Pfluger 10 games in, but I knew Rex Pfluger was coming back. And I started looking at Notre Dame's numbers from this year, and the Irish should have been maybe more thought of in a positive light in the preseason, given the number of players coming back, given who was coming back, including John Mooney, one of the two guys returning of the 15 in the ACC. I thought that Notre Dame might be closer to the top than maybe others, and the Irish just haven't gotten there. Now, they did beat, you know, last night they did win, so, you know, maybe they're going to get it turned around here in the second half.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
We're 1 through 15. We have 15 teams.
Sure.
When we were doing the tip-off in Charlotte, where did you think Notre Dame would be?
Six.
Okay. Where did you think North Carolina was going to be?
Three or four.
I rest my case.
Okay. No, I understand where you're coming with Carolina, but the more I looked at who came back, Notre Dame should be better, in my opinion. And I watched that game last night knowing that I put Notre Dame on that list and thinking, yeah, I understand now. I mean, this is a team that's a talented team. And I think Mike Bray would tell you he's disappointed.
They're a couple baskets away from being the leader of the glob.
Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
No question.
Just a couple baskets from the leader of the glob.
No doubt.
And which would be exactly where you thought they could be. A couple baskets. North Carolina's a lot further away than a couple baskets.
Yeah. That's why we have fun with this.
Am I swaying you on this? No?
No, that's why we just have different opinions sometimes.
Okay. All right.
You like Carolina? Yeah, I get Carolina.
I will tell you this, though.
Absolutely. I think Carolina's probably going to be, you know, of teams nationally.
I will tell you this. In the second half of this ACC season, you can give me NC State. You could give me Syracuse. You can give me Virginia Tech in the glob. I think North Carolina's got the biggest upside of any team in the glob in the second half, potentially.
How about that statement? No, I think they've also got the most interesting back 10 games.
That's my point.
Yeah.
They've got a chance to make the biggest splash, and that's why this Cole Anthony thing's so critical. Is he coming back? I hope he does. I want to see him play again in the North Carolina jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But man, they need him almost ASAP. This is going to be the glob to me. We've had fun with this whole glob thing.
Yeah.
It's almost as intriguing as the one, almost a separate fight with, for 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Right. Cause you know, this Louisville, Florida State, Duke thing is going to be great to see who wins it. But the glob mix, just to see how this thing kind of plays itself out, getting to the tournament, is going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
I think North Carolina's got a chance, as crazy as that sounds.
You know what else has a chance? Jen Hildreth on this show.
Makes her debut.
Jen will join us next from Coral Gables. She will be there tonight from Miami and Georgia Tech, part of our women's basketball doubleheader. And we'll check out maybe what's going on with Nell Fortner's team, who got off to a great start but has faded here a little bit lately. We'll visit with Jen Hildreth when Packer and Durham continues on ACC Network.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN. Garrison Brooks coming up in about 15 minutes. We look forward to that conversation, see what's going on. The Heels are feeling pretty good about life, and they got BC coming to town this weekend, which they will be favored, I'm sure, in Chapel Hill.
I knew we'd go down this road.
What happened to you now?
I got myself in trouble again.
See there? What have I, you know, you just haven't picked up anything I tried to tell you. Every time you go to a list, you cause a problem.
It's unbelievable.
Math and lists.
So I said something about Green Bay and Kansas City.
So who could be upset with that?
Friend of the show, Mike DeGeorge.
What'd he say?
He says Buffalo.
I've never been to Buffalo.
I've been to Buffalo. It's good.
Why did you put it on the list?
He said you named half the NFL, and I didn't hear you say Buffalo.
That's a good point.
Well, I didn't name a lot of the NFL, Seattle. And
so would you put Buffalo on your list?
Yeah, I would. I haven't been to Buffalo as much as I've been to Oakland, ironically, because the one time we played Buffalo recently, the Falcons played them in Toronto. The mayor of Toronto, remember that cat?
I like that guy. He was beaut.
He was down below us eating wings and throwing the bones in the aisle. That was quite a scene.
Like most mayors.
It was a lot like Oakland. So
I've never been to Buffalo.
How about Panthers, Pack? You want to put Panthers on the list?
I would not put the
Panthers
on the list.
Okay, just checking.
I would not.
Okay. All right. Here's the question, and more on this tomorrow. All right? One-man team. I'm going to give you a chance to build.
One person to build an ACC team around.
In basketball.
I can go back in as far in history as I want?
Yeah, I'd like for you to use this year to start with.
No, wait, so is this a two-part question or what?
No, you're going to pick one person. You're going to pick them from this year's active list.
I'd go Vernon Carey at Duke. The big man inside is where I'm going to go. For this year only, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
All right, that's where I'm going.
Huh.
I'm going the big man number one for Duke.
Cover your scoring, cover your rebound.
I just think this guy is a player.
All right.
And I think, you know what? He's a matchup nightmare for everybody in this league today. And so that's the guy. I know you need guards. I get it. We'll work all that around there. But the big man inside is a problem. So I'm going to go number one.
Man, I like those jerseys, by the way.
I do too.
Navy blue. Yep. Really deep navy.
Yep. So I'm going to go Vernon Carey Jr. There you go. That's my pick right now, today.
I think that's a good one. Couldn't pick Vernon Carey. I'm going to go John Mooney. Same kind of reason. Points, rebounds, can handle the ball, shoots a three comfortably. But some years, wouldn't we be picking guards ahead of bigs, Pack?
I think almost always.
Okay.
I think that to be honest with you, in a perfect world, fully equipped,
yeah,
I'd like a great guard.
Yeah.
But you're asking me for this year. ACC.
This year's an outlier in that light,
I think. It's been a weird year. Let's be honest. It's been a strange year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. So that's why I went inside as opposed to outside.
I'll tell you another guy.
Unless Jordan Ward is going to give me 37 tonight, and I might go with my man over there in Louisville.
I would put Elijah Hughes on this list.
I like that pick a lot, too.
Especially for the stats he gives you in all areas.
Yep.
All right. Now I'm going to let you have fun with this. You want to do history?
Yes. I have one person I can build a team around.
Okay.
In the history of the ACC.
Yes.
Did I get him for 4 years?
Sure.
That's important. I ask you that question. I get him for four.
Okay, yeah. We'll play old school. They stay in for 4 years.
All right. I want Lenny Wirtz. I want Lenny Wirtz on my side. Former classic legendary ACC official. You said a person. Oh, God. You can have any guard, forward, or center you want, but if I got Lenny Wirtz, I got a shot. So there you go. There's my answer. I'm going official on you. I know you're thinking Pac's an old Tommy, grew up an NC State guy. He'll pick one of those Norm Sloan stars.
What about David Thompson,
Pac? David Thompson's awesome.
What about David Thompson?
Guess what? If I got Lenny Wirtz for 4 years, Dave's going to have three fouls on him in the first, second TV timeout. We'll take care of him.
I like DT.
I mean, who doesn't? I mean, come on. I mean, I'm tongue-in-cheek here with you a little bit, but David Thompson.
Look at that.
Man, please.
Jamal, don't call me Keith Wilkes.
And for people that were born in the 90s, they're going, who are these guys? These old guys on TV,
right here,
what are they talking about? Go look this 44 up, yeah. Boys.
Look at that. Old Charlotte Coliseum, right? Chrome Dome. Yeah. Get a look at that, right?
DT. Or, you know what? Ralph Sampson wouldn't be bad. Just saying.
Len Bias
wouldn't be bad.
Len Bias? Got it. Perimeter game, rebound, handle the rock, score it.
It's funny you bring him up because this week we've talked so much about, at least on the afternoon radio show, about Kobe Bryant.
Sure.
And being one of those legendary, iconic sports figures, when you heard the news, where were you? To this day, Wes, I don't know if I've ever met an ACC fan that did not know where they were the second they heard Len Bias pass away.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I would be right there. I was a sophomore in college working in television in Greensboro.
Stunning, right? It was just one of those, you've got to be kidding me.
Heard it on the radio.
I know exactly where I was.
Yeah. And on a much smaller scale than Kobe Bryant, it impacted a lot of people in this footprint of this league.
Very similar, to be honest with you.
Very similar.
It was one of those things, you saw him play and great Maryland teams and lefty, and Len Bias was just one of those guys that you said, you know what, you'd pay to watch him play anywhere, anytime, right? Just one of those guys. And the future's so bright, going to the Celtics and everything else, and then poof, he's gone. And you were just like, no.
Yeah.
And it was kind of very similar to the Kobe thing this week back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Very similar, where for ACC fans, you were like, hey, I'm not a Maryland fan, but man. No way Len Bias is gone, right?
That's it.
That's how it was.
Very
true. It's crazy.
Lonnie in North Carolina with Packer and Durham. Hi, Lonnie.
Yes, good morning. I see your question, if I had to start a team in today's ACC, it would be Trey Jones. I have two reasons for that. Number one, he makes everybody around him better. And number two, he plays excellent defense out front to start. I just think there was a couple of players, Vernon Carey and Matthew Hurry. One of the reasons why they signed with Duke was because of Trey Jones. They stated that.
I think if you're building a team of all Trey Joneses, though, it's hard because he's going to score, he's going to defend. There's no doubt about it. They're going to assist to baskets. Then the question becomes, what, Pac rebounding? If you have Trey Jones at that side. Now, he can probably rebound.
I think the consistency of an outside shot is still a concern.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten better.
Yeah, he's a good player.
No doubt. Really good player. Defensively, out of sight. Leadership, out of sight.
Right.
Experience, been there, done that. I mean, all those are check marks. Does he make other guys better? It certainly does. That's what great point guards do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to really kind of critique his game, I still wonder, when it's tight, and Duke's in one of those situations, and they're playing someone that says, hey, Trey Jones, here's a 17-footer.
Right.
Beat me. Are you feeling good about that or not?
I know. I hear you on that.
Well, that's kind of where I think – that's where I kind of think where they are. But Trey Jones is an outstanding player, no question.
Just for the record here, I want to scan through this real quick. And people say, what are you scanning through on the deal there every once in a while? Well, in this particular case, it's David Thompson's career numbers. David Thompson played in 86 career ACC games, averaged almost 27 points and 8 rebounds a game.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
League was pretty good back then, too.
Shot 55% from the floor. 55 at 6'4". So.
He was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, like.
Oh, my gosh.
He was one of those guys that if you were not an NC State fan, you watched him.
Yeah.
And here's what you said. God, I wish we had him. Every fan of any team ever said that about David Thompson at NC State.
Len Bias, 131 career games, 16.5 points, 6 rebounds, shot 54% from the floor.
He was spectacular.
Yeah.
So good. Can't believe we lost him so young. Because he would have been an incredible pro.
Oof.
Huh? Come on. Going to the Celtics with Bird and all those guys. Oh, my goodness.
Give me the call again. I think you said Richard. Is that right? Richard is next with Packer and Durham. Hi, Richard.
Hey, I was fortunate enough in 1985 to be at the Greensboro Coliseum during Operation Basketball, interviewing players and coaches for an independent newsletter. And I met Len Bias, who was there with Keith Gatlin representing Maryland, and sat down and talked to them and interviewed them and taped the interview and took notes. And he was probably one of the most impressive people I have ever met. Unbelievable how he could handle himself. At the end of the interview, I said to him, you've talked to radio and TV people and newspaper people all day. Is there anything that you want to say that you haven't got to say today? And he said to me, Maryland can beat anybody in the country. And as you said earlier, guys, I know exactly where I was when I heard the tragic news about losing Len Bias. And he would probably be my second pick, but I would take DT if I was going to start a team today.
Ooh.
But I'm almost 70 years old, and it was 1985 was a long time ago, and I can tell you right now, I can remember that interview like it was yesterday. I was so impressed with Len Bias.
Hey, Richard, though, you have to admit, everybody you mentioned in this list on your end is spot on, but if I got Lenny Wirtz, you know I'm going to put 3 fouls on your guy right out of the gate. You know that.
Well, I officiated NCAA women's basketball in the 90s for several years, and I met Mr. Wirtz at one of the NCAA meetings in Atlanta, and he's a piece of work.
That'd be one way to put it. That'd be one way. Richard, thank you. That's a great call. Appreciate that very much. I think Len Bias was a really good. I can remember seeing him at the Operation ACC basketball, November of 85. And that was coming off the year before, 2 years before winning the ACC tournament MVP when Maryland beat Duke in Greensboro after the Duke team that is in the documentary Class That Saved Coach K had upset Carolina semifinals. That next day, Maryland won the ACC title. That's when Lefty said he was going to take the ACC tournament trophy and put it on the hood of my car and drive it all over North Carolina.
I was there that night, boy.
That was funny, wasn't it?
Classic.
That's a great line. So, good stuff, by the way.
But you give me Dick Pappardo and Lenny Wirtz, I'll take on anybody you got over there, Durham. I'll put a hurting on you guys.
Great. You want to throw Hernjack in there, too?
If you want me.
Lou Moser.
If I can have 3, I'll go there. Give me Dick Pappardo and Lenny Wirtz.
Say what I'd like to do. I'd like to move on and talk to Garrison Brooks. Live in Chapel Hill, we'll talk to the Tar Heel Junior Center. Tar Heels have won 2 straight. Welcome BC to Smith Center on Saturday at 6 o'clock. And we'll talk to the Heels number 15 when Packer and Durham continues on ACC Network. Sirius XM 371 and the ESPN app.